thinking as she was singing that song, oh, that's better, that's better. You know, we could just have her sing that song again and pray and go home and go back to bed because we got up so early. You know, very seldom am I going to tell you this, but the sunrise was beautiful today. I mean, it really was. If you look to the east, it was just spectacular, and because I don't see it very often. But it was really good. Boy, thank you. That was great, sweetie. That was very good. I worked with her last night. So I've got a few things today, so a couple surprises. Now, I told you, when I say something, as we get older, we need to make less promises and keep them all. You understand that? So if you're under 21 in this room and you've never done a Jiffy Pop, here you go. Later today, not now, don't come up here now, but there are 10 Jiffy Pops. Now, if these are not gone, because I have 10 more for the next service, and I want you to think about bearing fruit and pop, 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 pop when you go. But if you're under 21, I do not want you to live your life without experiencing Jiffy Pop once. Now, just to keep me out of trouble, do not put it in the microwave. Well, today's theme, dirt in your eye, and you'll see where that makes sense as we move through things. One day, a group of scientists got together, as they will do often, and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell him, God, that they were done with him, that they were done with him. Scientists walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so why don't you just go and get lost? And they attempted to not say it offensively, but they said that to him. Now, those of you that might not know, we're playing make-believe here, but that's okay. God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. After the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest. To which the scientist stood up tall and said, okay, great. But God added, now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem, and bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. And God looked at him and said, no, 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 you need to go get your own dirt. Whoa, 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 tiger. You start there. So, glad you got it. Thank you. Let's... I love silly jokes, obviously. Let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you that we can be here to celebrate you in every way that we can. And I just pray, Lord, as we try to understand, as we try each week, more of who you are and how you relate to us and how good it is to be in real relationship with you, that you would bless us this day as we try to unpack who Jesus was and how he impacts us. And certainly, Jesus, we want to tell you that you are welcome in this room and that you are welcome in our life. And we want to invite you in every way, into each of our homes, our marriages, our families, each of our children's lives. May you touch them deeply in their life this day, somewhere, somehow. And Father, I pray that each of us would open up our hearts to you as only we can do, and that we do want to follow you. And we want to love you back. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, we're in a series, for those of you who may be new. Most people don't come to church the first time on this Sunday of the year because it's a little early. By the way, our little secret. There will be people that walk in about 30 minutes. And let's not laugh at them. I may smile, so don't laugh when I smile. And there will be some that come in an hour thinking, and they come in and they go, you started without me? Yeah. So one of the things just to kind of kick off here today, we get to choose, and we get to choose each and every day in our life. We get to choose what we lean on in life. We really do. We get to choose what's most important to us, what we're going to love in our life. We get to make that decision every day. We get to choose where our strength comes from. Again, what we lean on. What kind of person we want to be. Who do you really want to be? What do you want to give off? Most of us in the room have deodorant on, which is a good thing. It's beautiful. Thank you. But really, in all areas of our life, we kind of get to make that choice. I know you got your personality, you got your experience in life, but we all know that we can make decisions. And the way we know that is if you're having some kind of bickering thing going on at home, and it's risen to level 5 or 6, and the phone rings, and you pick it up. You go, hello, like nothing's going on. You clear your throat. You've all done it. Because you don't want somebody to see, how. We get to choose what we're going to invest our life in, day in and day out, what things we're going to celebrate in life, and the list could go on and on. We get to choose over and over again. And those choices end up defining our lives. They really do. They end up making us who we are. And I know we can say, wait, you don't know the influences that I've had in my life. Family, and maybe it wasn't so good. Friendships, and maybe they weren't all where they ought to be. But to look and to constantly throughout your life blame other people is just a, it's not a winner in life. It's not a good choice. And we all generally, from within us, and I think this is a God-given thing, we want to reach our potential, whatever that is. We want to make a difference. We want to matter. We want to know that somebody is bettered on some level because we were here, that my life mattered, especially as we get older in life. And the beauty of following Jesus, if I can kind of call it that, the beauty of following him is you know you're connected to power. Because you know, if you're honest, how limited your power and resources are. No offense. If you're really smart, cool, man. Good. If you got a lot of money, man, you can do a lot with that money in your own life and the lives of others. We all know that. But boy, when you're connected to Jesus, you got power resident within you because of him, not because of you. But when we follow Jesus, that's just true of our life. We get to know and be confident that our life ends well. Whether it's in tragedy, or flying on an airplane, or it's when we reach whatever old age is for us. The beauty of following Jesus is you know you can impact people beyond this life. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen, but the real follower of Jesus knows that there's going to be fruit from their life over the course of time as they love him and love others. It's just part of the process of life. You don't have to force it. A tree that bears fruit doesn't work real hard. Orange come out. Grapefruit. It just kind of happens as the seasons go on. You look at this tree out here, that's our plum tree. This is amazing plums. You got about a 3-week window. There's buds all over it. In my understanding, not that I'm an agricultural guy, but each of those buds is going to end up being a plum. They're all white. They're all over the tree. And there's fruit in your future when you follow Jesus. Following Jesus, you know everything isn't kind of up to you. You don't have to figure out everything, as we'll see a little bit in our message today. You know about forgiveness. Forgiveness is cool stuff. There's nothing better than that for you and for you to give to other people. It really is freedom. You don't have to live your life all tied up in knots, not to fix things. If you're following Jesus, you know that things are better now than they were when you weren't. Because it's just the truth. It becomes the reality of your life. And today's message, at least in part, asks the question, who you leaning on? At least in part. So let's just jump in, have some fun with God's word. You ready? Fired up? Good. First off, number one, why is this guy blind? Why is this guy blind, the disciples ask? Great question, fair question. We often ask the why question, don't we? When we think about our lives, don't read ahead, you people. We ask the why question, we just do regularly and kind of often. And when we ask it, we get back virtually no defined answers. We may get some thoughts or some theories, but you don't get them back. It doesn't stop us from asking the question, though. We all know that. The disciples weren't any different than us. They had questions. Verse 1 in John chapter 9, as we walk through his life step by step, as he went along, that he would be Jesus, as he was wandering along the path, he saw a man blind. Now, blindness was very common in the ancient world, and often it was from birth. One of the first things that happens when you have a baby, and I've watched it a time or two or five, one of the first things that happens is they put drops in their eyes. I don't really understand. I think it's antibiotics, something to heal if there's any negative stuff going on in the eye. And, you know, it's doctor stuff, and the doctor could give you a much better explanation of what they're doing, but I've watched them do it. I understand what they do with minor understanding. But that's the first thing that happens when a baby's born. Once they're out, they kind of clean them up, put some eye drops in their eyes in case there's any infection in there. And the Bible goes on to say he saw a man blind from birth, so he was never able to see, ever. And again, we think this is common in the ancient world. The truth is 1 out of 1,000 babies is born with some pretty major retina problems. You don't know those numbers till you begin to. That's a lot. So it's not just then, it's now true. The truth is. The verse goes on, verse 2. His disciples asked him, this blind guy created a dilemma for the disciples. The disciples asked Jesus, they said, Rabbi, word of respect, teacher, authority, master, who sinned, this man or his parents? So they saw only two possible reasons for this man being born blind. It was either sin in his life or his parents' life. They're directly asking Jesus as they're walking down the road after encountering or being with this blind fella. So who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they assumed the popular Jewish teaching that every ailment in life is a result of sin. Each and everything that goes wrong in life. As if they had control over their own health. Now I am so thankful that these fellas asked Jesus this question, because we get to know the answer, as we'll see unpacked here by Jesus, which is, by the way, a very cool one. But think about it. If every difficulty that you or I have, physically, emotionally, practically in life, whatever difficulty it might be, if every difficulty had a direct connection to sin, that would make for a pretty painful life. I know who I am. And I tell you over and over again, if you knew my past, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. And as I say that and I look around the room, I know some of your past. And you're right with me. Not all of you. Some of you are angelic. But it would make it impossible to be healthy, because sin doesn't stop just because you begin to follow Jesus. We all know that if we're honest. We could find ourselves blaming other people for the problems that we have. That never happens, right? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Another thing we learned today, number 2 there in your notes, is that God uses challenges to honor himself. Now, before we get into this point, what happens to me, to you, when we face a challenge in life? And maybe one that's a little taller than other ones, not just a little thing, like the trash needs to be taken out. But what happens when we face challenges? Do they cause me to worry? I mean, some things are issues that have to be dealt with in life. Do they defeat me? Do they make me irritable, miserable, hard to live with? Do they need to be overcome in order for me to be happy? Thinking that happiness is found in the circumstance, being good, bad, or medium, whatever it might be. Challenges are a big deal to us if we get real honest. And we all got them, and they're different in different ways. The answer Jesus gives here to this question can change your view of challenges and difficulties and pain in life, if you'll let it. And I think it's a really big deal. It's probably the message in the message. If you want to be educated, if you want to be moved along in following Jesus, in having peace in your life that's real, that lasts. Look at John 9:3. he looks at the disciples and he says, neither. Neither what? Well, neither the man or the baby's sin or future sin. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. It's not about that, said Jesus. What was in this baby's life that grew up to be a man wasn't about them. It wasn't their fault. God isn't in the business of teaching lessons in this way. Just to begin to understand that, if you've got great pain in your past, maybe that you don't have a home for or a compartment for, maybe you can let Jesus begin to help you with it. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened. So we go on with some clarity and some definition. He really was blind from birth for a reason. There was a greater purpose than you know. Why, we ask? Jesus says, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The greatness of God, the goodness of God, the compassion of God, the care of God, blind or not blind. This challenge allowed God to be honored through his blindness. And not just in the event that we're going to witness today in the Bible, but just in the fact that life does have challenges. And if we have to move them out of the way to be okay, what are we thinking? What are we thinking? Quote by F.F. Bruce, to try to get our hands around this, a great Bible commentator. He said, this does not mean that God deliberately caused the child to be born blind in order that after many years his glory should be displayed in the removal of his blindness. To think so would again be an aspersion on the character of God. It does not mean that God overruled the disaster of the child's blindness so that when the child grew to manhood, he might, by recovering his sight, see the glory of God in the face of Jesus, and others seeing the work of God might turn to the true light of the world. So he's trying to give some meaning to what's happening here today. God doesn't indiscriminately pick blind, not blind, blind, not blind, 10, not blind. That's not how God functions. Life has its impact, and a lot of times it's not very pretty. And we've all experienced it on some level at some point. It's just not the way he works. Life comes at us, things happen, and often we just have no idea why. We just have to deal with it. When we choose to trust God in good times or in bad times, life just goes better. If you try to care for it on your own and you try to be Jesus in the situation, you don't have that capacity or power. The bottom line is, miracles mean things. Miracles confirmed who Jesus was to us so that we can worship him today in song and in our heart. Miracles historically overwhelm people as we look back to them. What we're trying to do in this series and be in awe of who Jesus was and is today. Next, Jesus speaks directly to his disciples, his trusted guys, and indirectly at us. Number three, you need to know why you're here or what you're here for. And the truth is, to lean on me, Jesus would say, as we'll see in this text. If someone asked you Tuesday at Starbucks, somebody you knew that you would be at least semi-open to, that you felt safe with, if they looked you right in the eye and says, what are you here for? What's your main purpose in life? How does God view you? What would God want you to do? What would your answer be? And Jesus kind of gives this to the fellows here in the context of what's going on. Look at what Jesus tells them in chapter 9, verse 4 of John. You having fun? Good. As long as it is day, and the idea here brings a sense of urgency with it. He's referring to the brevity of time, and it's true for all of us most certainly. Only a few months remain. Now, they didn't fully understand that, but for him to be alive with them. He says, as long as it is day, we, and we is interesting here because Jesus is including the disciples, not just himself, but he's sort of including them. He says, we must do the works of him who sent us. He says, this needs to be our main passion in life, to do the works of God. And this is significant for them, really, and in truth, in us on some level at least. Jesus is telling them what to do, not with specifics, but in general, why you're alive. He's also telling them to stop looking back to see why this man was blind. And I think one of the messages here is we waste so much time on things that mean nothing. They mean something to us because they grab our hearts so. But we get trapped in the past. We keep looking at the rearview mirror in life, and you can't change anything in that mirror. All you can do is live today and move on to where it's going. Learn from it. Nobody can go back and change one doggone thing. You know the big eraser I talk about all the time, and my eraser is probably bigger than yours? Dealing with the past? Not you, Todd. Well, I could call your name too, huh, Ben? You want me to stop? Yeah. You can tell who I feel safe with in the room. We must do the works of him who sent me. The idea of submitting to God, the God of the universe. He goes on to say, night is coming when no one can work. This is a reference to him in months ahead being taken away and literally killed, as we know the story. And he's referring to a certain period of time here because he's talking with the disciples, remember. And it's sort of a reference to until the Holy Spirit comes again. And they don't know that in the day of Pentecost. And that's a whole story that will unfold before us. Verse 5, he goes on, while I am in the world, Jesus, literally, physically, God is in the world. He says, I'm the light of the world. Lean on me, guys. I'm here for you. L-O-T-W, light of the world. This is what I'm here for. Follow me. Love me. And later, certainly, the Spirit would come in a different, powerful way that those of us that are really followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, which is just one of the greatest stories of all, and for another day. But so he's saying here, do the right thing. Be sure you lean on me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't just do your thing personality-wise. Don't think you know better than me. You can't do it alone. You need to know what you're here for, and you need to lean on me. Number 4, let's keep moving. Jesus gives direction to the blind fella, and he's healed. So Jesus tells his guys, look, it's not his parents' fault, like you're insinuating. It's not his fault because of his sin that he's blind, that he was born blind. Stop looking back, fellas. Stop it. Don't try to figure out where it was sourced from. Let God be glorified any way he wants. And help in that cause in any way you can. Glorify God. In verse 6 in John 9, after saying this to his disciples, so he's trying to teach them a truth, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva. That's a little weird. And he put it on the man's eyes. Now, just for fun today, just because I'm an old youth pastor and you're stuck with me, we're going to mess around a little bit here today. I had some help from your daughter went outside with me. I've got some dirt that his daughter picked up right outside. Just dirt. That's all it is. And you're all wondering, Jim's not going to do it, is he? Why is it so disgusting to us? Jesus did it. Well, if I do it, you'll never forget it, right? Now, I was with my family last night, and we had dinner. It was Amy's birthday, and we had a debate, as we do in the Makinga family, about this very issue, what I was going to do today, make some mud. And we talked about putting a chair up here and asking for a volunteer And fortunately, my daughter became a hairdresser. And so I went and bought two of these for each service. Because it was a serious debate. And I really liked the idea of bringing a fella up here. I wouldn't bring a gal because you got makeup on. This would mess up everything. But I thought about having a chair here. I should have, just figuratively, and put mud on somebody's eyes because it would have been disgusting. And this is what it was that day. It was no less disgusting that day than it was is right here. If it would have been just worse if I would have spit in here. And I wasn't going to do that. I don't want you to end with that picture. If somebody's here for the first time and they leave, I saw a pastor spit. It just wasn't pretty. But you know what I liked about having a guy up here? Is because somebody would have had to come up and help him to go to the bathroom and clean his face. So we decided not to do it. So Jesus put mud on his eyes. I don't know how much, and saliva on his eyes. That's what Jesus did, right? Isn't that what the Bible said? I'm not playing make-believe, right? That's what he did. That's what the Bible says. Really weird. Part of the Bible is really weird. That's what he did. Put mud on his eyes. Let's pick it up, verse 7. Then he said to him, he said, go. He told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He sent him to this pool. So the man, the Bible says, went. First off, though, a request is made to our blind fella. He says, I want you to go to this pool. Now, how would he have gotten there alone? Number one, he's blind. Number two, he has mud in his eyes. Not that it would have mattered for his seeing, but still, it's messy. It would have been uncomfortable, I would imagine. Never happened to me. What is when you raise kids and you're by the beach, what do you teach them? Don't throw sand. Why? Because you don't want to be in the emergency room taking the sand out of their eyes. Right? Isn't that what we teach our kids? Oh, you didn't learn that? You went to the emergency room? So the man went, the Bible says, and washed. Obviously, here he did what he was told, which is interesting. And came home seeing. There's so many questions I have. When he was going to the pool, did he expect to see again? Now, he wouldn't have known what it meant to see. When you're blind from birth, you never know what it is. I'm sure your mind imagines or you hear things, but how can you know what you don't know? So he goes and he washes this mud that Jesus applied to his face, and he came home seeing, having never before seen. He now has the capacity to see. So the best you can, try to imagine being this fella, who in a moment we're going to see was a beggar. And now he can see vistas and colors and daylight and other human beings and water. In this story, his obedience, which is really a big part of it, confirms trust. It confirms submission on his part to this Jesus fellow. It confirms that he put his confidence in him. It confirms a willingness to follow him. And these are all big deals in our hearts. Now, the vast majority of us in this room, I don't think anybody's here today, is blind. So we don't have this burden, this challenge in our life. But we got different ones that could, in our hearts and minds, be as severe, that are real to us. And my question would be, do we choose to follow him, submit to him, trust him, as this fella did? Can we take our challenges and entrust them to him, or are we caring for him? Are we managing them? If it's to be, is it up to me? Let's keep moving. Number 5. Wow, it's late. And I got a long ways to go. Well, nobody's going to come till an hour late, so who cares? 5. People are stunned by this healing. This event shook up the world. It really did. Especially among those who knew the blind guy. Try to imagine how you would have responded at that time and that place to the impossible, to an event like this. It's overwhelming. Verse 8, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, so this guy was a beggar, had a cup rattling it around with little coins in it probably, as we've seen before. Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg, they said. They were confused, they were shocked, they were stunned. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. It can't be him. Look at verse 9. Some claim that it was him. It's him. I know it's him. I know. Look it. I've seen him 100 times. It's him. Others said, no, he only looks like him. He's just another beggar. It can't be him. Come on. Come on now. No one who's blind from birth ever sees. Get real. But he himself insisted, and I love this part. The blind guy steps up. He looks him right in the eye, and he says, I am the man. Now, when a blind guy looks you right in the eye and stays with you, what are you going to do with that? And then he stays with you. Then he goes from here, and he looks over here, and he goes, no, I am him. And then he goes over here, and he says, no, look, this is me. I was the beggar guy. Again, the stunned part just goes up. Oh, my, they're saying. Verse 10. Then they look at him, and they said, then how? Then were your eyes open, they asked. How did this happen? How did this happen? They couldn't believe it. They couldn't get their hands around it. It didn't make sense to them. They never seen anything like it. They were stunned. They couldn't stop talking about it. Which leads us to number 6. Look what the blind guy says. Doing what he said paid off for me. This is exactly what he says. This is the response to their question to him. His answer is what really happened. No attempt to tell him how he did it, because nobody can. How Jesus do it. Does this make any sense to anybody? There's a doctor in the room. Does this make any sense, Dirk? No! It doesn't. Now, this is straight from the horse's mouth. For those of us that are older, this is Mr. Ed speaking. The blind guy, okay, who was asked the question, how did he do it? Look at verse 11. He replied, the man they call Jesus. Now, it really is about him. It's not about he was reading scripture. It's not about he was faithfully attending church. It's not about believing a creed. It's all about Jesus. This story and really in truth everything. He goes on, this man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. It's kind of like, I can't, are you kidding me? He made, because they didn't see what we saw today, because we saw marvelous things in this room today, right? They weren't there to witness that. It was only his disciples. He was just telling the story. Kind of like we try to tell the story about how important Jesus is to us today, and sometimes we flub it up. So he put mud on my eyes. He didn't add the spit part here, because it's just gross. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. He told me where to go and what to do. So I went, I did what he said, and I washed, and then I could see. I'm sure he probably said, I know this sounds silly, but look at me. I can really see. Look, I'm looking around the room at the people that are asking me these questions. He had to say this, I got to believe, with a grin on his face. Probably missing some teeth because of his life. He probably messed up, but there had to be a grin on his face. And a little giddy, I'm imagining. Couldn't contain his joy. Number 7 and last, they wanted to hear from Jesus. They wanted to meet the guy who made the mud. They had just witnessed a blind guy who could see, and he couldn't see before. In verse 12, where is this man? Where is this fellow that made that mud? I had to go wash. We want to meet him. Jesus just went poof. He was gone. And he didn't show up till verse 35. But they were looking for him. They wanted to talk to him. They wanted to understand how he did what he did. And it sort of should be our attitude in our life, that we want to hear from him. We want to get close to him. We want to follow this fellow that made the mud. I mean, it just makes sense. Nobody else ever made mud, to my knowledge, historically, and a blind guy came out seeing. It's pretty cool. Pretty crazy, but pretty cool. So what do we learn? Number one, first of all, my challenges in life, and this is a big deal today, can honor God. Now the truth for most of us, when challenges come, we just want them gone, right? If we get honest. We don't usually relax under them. We are irritated by them. We worry about them. We stress about them. We often fail to accept the good and the bad in life. We want to keep the good and get rid of the bad. We want the blemishes of life covered. You really didn't want to see me spit in that dirt today. It's just like, it's like the bathroom stuff. You don't talk about the bathroom stuff. We want blemishes in our life covered. We want to be seen as together and organized and right and kind of perfect. None of us are perfect, but we want to look together. We want to look cool. We're South Bay people. We're cool. Well, I have some news for you. I have some news for you. You're loved just the way you are. Not because you're so together or you're so healthy. Now, some of you have seen this fellow before, but just when you talk about challenges, this is the biggest in life. And I want you to watch him for a few minutes and be touched by his life. Again, many of you have seen Nick, but just watch.
I was born without arms and legs, and my parents were dedicated Christians all their lives, and then I came along and really tested their faith.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This
cornerstone. Do you know how mothers don't want to hold their firstborn, like they're anxious? Well, when I was put next to my mother's side, guess what she said? Take him away.
What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving ceases.
If God loved my parents, why would he let something that bad happen to them?
Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
And I'm thinking, well, why me? Like, I'd go to the shops and like point out to people, to God, like I said, God, why didn't you choose her or him? Like, he looks like he could handle something like this. I just can't do it.
This gift of love and righteousness.
It just got hard sometimes. I really wanted to end my life. I just couldn't see anything.
Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
Then I was stumped at the verse where it says, God made you in his image. And I'm like, right. I realized, man, why would he make me like this? And I got so angry. I said, God, prove to me that you are real. Prove to me that you made me and that you love me. Why? Why me?
Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then burst.
Why does he let us go through struggles? Why does he let us go through suffering? So he can strengthen us to draw us closer to him and grow with him.
And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost.
But I want to tell you that there is a reason why God hasn't answered your prayer yet. He hasn't, quote, rescued you from your suffering, because he's strengthening your heart. He's preparing your heart for something more. The joy of the Lord is knowing that no matter what happens, God is with you and he will never forsake you. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see that his right arm is nailed to the cross. Nick, you don't have a right arm to be nailed to the cross. You look to his left arm, and his left arm is nailed to the cross. You don't have a left arm to be nailed to the cross. Then you look down to his fully extended legs, and you see that they're nailed to the cross. You don't have any legs to be nailed to the cross, Nick. The way that God made you, you cannot be put up and limited by being on the cross. Jesus is on the cross for you. You are the unlimited part of Christ's body that's going to go out and spread the gospel like no one's ever dreamed of before. There are times in your life, there are storms going to come in your way, and it might not be in your control as often they are. And he might not stop the storm, but he's going to embrace you and keep you warm till the storm passes.
So, I don't know what challenges you have in your life. Let's move on. Number two. The directions of Jesus produce blessing. They just do. We see that in the stories. I always wonder when I read stories like this, one of the first things I think about, I didn't say it in the story, and I didn't because of this point now, but what if he didn't go wash his eyes out? This is silly. I'm not going. What if nobody took him to the pool? He couldn't see where it is. He couldn't have walked there alone. What if nobody let him? Would he have been healed? You know what the answer is? I don't think so. I don't know the answer, but I don't think he would have been. And so with that in mind, it begs the question, if we fail to listen to Jesus, the words of Jesus, just like he had to, in a different way, Jesus was present, I get that. Not that he's not present now, it's just different. I ask the question, what do we miss if we refuse to follow? What have we missed if we don't listen to him? Which leads us to number three, never stop being stunned by Jesus. Now, I got some stuff. Let me see how it looks on the board, if I can read it out here. What does it mean to be stunned? You going to help me, or do you want me to make it up? Okay, in awe or surprise, something that hits unexpectedly, something that takes your breath away. You feel it viscerally, no time to process. You're stunned. Boom! You're stunned. We all get it. Huge sub, hard and fast, moves you off center. Whoa! That's what stunning is. What else? Something sometimes broad impact to many people. When you see a car wreck, we're all like kind of, we're rubberneckers, right? Is that what they call us? But it can be deeply personal. Now, I asked six people to write some things, so I just got a list of stuff people write. How can I stay stunned by Jesus in my life? I wrote none of these. These are your friends. For me, it's serving him in every area of my life. That's how I stay stunned. I'm stunned that he can use an old short order cook. And you know who this is if you know him. Just stop and look at what he's done and is doing in my life. How he helps me understand more about this crazy life that I could never understand before. I see him in the beauty of this world, stunned by his majesty, the sunset, mountains, the oceans, your human body, the eyeball. Let the eyeball blow you away. When he provides far beyond my imagination to give life when hope is lost. You gonna give me some more, buddy? Pretty smooth, Justin. Read what he said. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Pick a promise, any promise, celebrate it. I will never leave you. My peace, he says, I will give to you. Ponder what people knew that knew him did. They died because of following him. They died. Remember, he actually walked on water, and he caused Peter to do it, which is a bigger deal in a certain sense. Recalling he loves me even though I've failed and I continue to. Looking for Jesus to show up when I face hardships in my life helps me stay stunned. Jesus must be on your radar screen. This would be mine. The only one I wrote is the last one. You've got to have Jesus on your radar screen to ever be stunned by him. And the more you can keep him there, You know, when you're a boater and you're out there and the fog comes in, there's this mile-long area about 10 miles out where big ships go down to Long Beach and wherever they're going and back. Big, big ships. And when you got a little 30-foot ship, boat, sailboat, you're really careful in that mile because they can tear you apart. And if you've got radar, man, you're looking at that, you're listening for noises, you just don't want to be in the fog. Right, Todd? Keep Jesus on your radar screen. Fourth and last, to get us out of here. I'm a little late. Actually, the music was so good, it was way too long. Blame them. Number four, keep yourself open to Jesus in every way. Refuse to close down. Refuse to shut the door, not be available to hide out from him. Become welcoming and inviting. We talk about this, I know, all the time. Start pursuing him. Start hunting him down. Get hungry for the one who made the mud. Get hungry for him. Closing down to the one who made the mud pushes him away, harms your future, and sets you up for failure in the most important areas of life. We talk often here about loving Jesus. And when you unpack what does it mean to love Jesus, it's just popped in my head as I looked at these four. Really, kind of, here it is. How do I love Jesus back for what he loved me for? How about we allow our challenges to honor him? Don't stop all of them. Don't think, I got to get by this. I got to get over this. I got to end this to be happy. Live with it. Learn to accept it. Stop the fight. Don't waste your time. We do this as humans so often. I hope they end. But a lot of them don't. Never stop being stunned by Jesus. Whatever it takes, be stunned every day. It's too good to be true, yet it is. And always be open to him. And when we do, if we do, we may change the world for somebody along the way. And we'll close with this and I'll pray. Thank you that we can attempt to celebrate you in every way that we can. We want to be stunned by you in our life. We want to be people who just worship you day in and day out and seek to follow you in every way that we can. Thank you for what you've done in each of our lives. Thank you for what you will do in the future. We love you and we appreciate you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now I'm going to go wash my hands, all right?